She found a hidden code in the Jewish Bible proving Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I've been so looking forward to being with you because last week, my guest, Sharon Allen, had never read the New Testament. No Christian explained to her why Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. But although she was raised in a traditional Jewish background, she married a non-Jew who was secular. And when she said it's time to convert to Orthodox Judaism, he rebelled because he had to renounce Jesus. She was shocked. Money was his God. But he said, no, I can't renounce Jesus. So it's Roman mythology. How can you? You're such a sensible, good businessman, good Hamish husband. How could you believe in that man? And to prove him wrong, she thought she'd read the Jewish scriptures. Now, you'd think someone coming from a very good Orthodox Jewish background would have read the Jewish scriptures. But no, she read the prayer book more than the Jewish scriptures, the edited portions read in the synagogue in the weekly readings more than the Jewish scriptures. So she started at the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and started reading through. It'll only take a few minutes. And a year went by. She studied the Talmud, all the Jewish rabbinical writings, and she found that everywhere she looked in the Jewish scriptures, it described Jesus. She found that the ancient rabbis, before prejudice was involved, before they did not want Jewish people to believe that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, all the ancient rabbis recognized these biblical passages as talking about the Messiah, but the modern rabbis came up with new interpretations to, if you will, put a picket fence around Jewish people so that we would not think for ourselves. Now, Sharon, you said the thing that intrigued you so much as you started reading the scriptures for yourself and came to the conclusion Jesus was the Jewish Messiah, the thing that so intrigued you was the angel, or as the Hebrew really says, the messenger of the Lord keeps popping up all over the Jewish scriptures. Yes. Tell me about him.
Well, and when you read the Bible in Hebrew, the term is Malach, and we say Hashem because we don't pronounce the ineffable name of God, the Tetragrammaton. In Hebrew, the letters are Yud Hey Vav Hey. Mm-hmm. We Jewish people don't even pronounce that name. So we say Hashem, the name. And the Hebrew is actually Aramaic, is Malach. But in the English Bibles, it's written as Angel of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So every time you read the English Bible, it seems like, oh, it's another angel, another mere created being. Mm-hmm. But when you read it in Hebrew, and it's very specific, it's Malach Hashem. Jews say Malach Hashem, but actually we're reading Malach Yud Hey Vav Hey, the ineffable name of God. Every time this Malach Hashem,
the reason we use this tetragram is God's name is so holy.
We don't even speak. His name is so holy. Thank you for, okay. Yes, that is so true. We never say that name. It is forbidden for us to pronounce those letters. Well, when you read the Jewish Bible, this Malach Hashem appears. And when he appears, the people recognize him. When he appeared to Hagar in the desert, she recognized him as being God. He appears Moses is told by God, and in fact, I'd like to share that with you if I may, because it is so specific. It's in Exodus 23, actually. And if I may just read a little tiny portion.
It says, "Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him." Two things I noticed. One is, he won't pardon your transgression. Only God can pardon sin.
But this one has the right to pardon sin.
Yes. And it says, my name is in him. You see, the Malach Hashem, Malach Yud Hei Vav Hei, no mere created being could carry the Tetragrammaton, that ineffable name of God that we Jews never pronounce. And so that was a key. But we also, back in Genesis, again we hear about this angel, this messenger. And of course, in English, angel just, it doesn't have the same context, or it has the same meaning as when you read it in Hebrew, and it says, Jacob is blessing Joseph's children.
We Jewish people like to bless a lot.
Yes, yes. And it says, he gives the blessing and he says, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel," and but remember, it's not angel, it's Malach, this messenger, "the messenger who has redeemed me from all evil." An angel redeems from evil? Impossible. No mere created being could do this. And so by reading, I mean, even in Judges, in the book of Judges, Manoah, Samson's father, this messenger appears to Manoah. He recognized this messenger as being God. And when he asks the messenger's name, the messenger uses the term Peli, which means wonderful, which is only attributed to God. That term is only attributed to the Creator. And so Manoah recognizes him as God, fears for his life, says to his wife, "We have seen God face to face and we will die." And she says to him, no, if he was going to kill us, he would have killed us already. And the angel, this messenger, accepts this sacrifice that Manoah offers. And no mere created being could have accepted this sacrifice. In fact, he goes into the sacrifice, into the fire, into the flames, and goes up to heaven in this sacrifice. When Manoah sees that, he falls on his face, and he realizes he has seen
God. So who is the messenger of the Lord?
It is Yeshua, Jesus.
Yeshua is Hebrew for Jesus.
Yes.
Does it say anywhere in the Jewish scriptures, Jesus?
You know, interesting enough, when we go to the synagogue and we pray on the Day of Atonement in our prayer book, everywhere where we see the word salvation is Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua. And so we read his Jewish name, Yeshua, Jesus, for salvation all through the High Holy Day prayers.
So the next time you go to the synagogue on High Holy Days, you'll see Yeshua all over the prayer book. We'll be right back with a hidden code that proves Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. Don't go away. Hello, YouTube Mishpucha. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with Sharon Allen, a Jewish woman that no Christian told her why Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. She never read the New Testament. She studied the Jewish scriptures on her own, thought for herself, and found out that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. Now, something that she found that I had never heard before, but obviously God was leading her in this search. You were reading in the fifth chapter of Genesis, the first book of the Jewish scriptures.
Yes.
And what did you find?
Well, you know, what I thought was interesting is it gives a genealogy of the first 10 names. And names are very important in our tradition, because when someone has a baby,
you give the baby an English name, yes, mm-hmm. but you also give the baby a Hebrew name. We all have our Hebrew names. And for instance, my Hebrew name is Sura Rivka, my daughter's Hebrew name is Chava Leah, and every Hebrew name has a Jewish root. It means something, has a meaning. And
it gives you insight into their personality.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so recognizing every Hebrew name has a meaning, I was just curious mm-hmm. to see what the root letters in the Hebrew names, what their meaning is. And I just did it as research. I guess mm-hmm. that's just my temperament. I like to read. And so I used even the lexicons. I wanted to make sure that it was very, very specific. And so I went to the Hebrew lexicons and studied the first 10 names just to see what it would mean. And it had a message. And I had no idea.
What do you mean it had a message?
Well, if you take it in order that they are. For example, you know, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, all the names.
Right.
In the order that they
presented,
appear.
Right.
In the genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
And you write down next to it what the meaning is when you read the sentence in the order of the names mm-hmm. and in the order of the meanings. And you don't confuse it, you don't mix it up. You have to take it just as the name appears. There is a message.
Now, how did you even know to look this up?
You know, it was curiosity. Maybe God told me to do it. One thing I knew, and that was that the names have a meaning. That I knew mm-hmm. because even my own Jewish name has a meaning. And so all I did, out of curiosity,
yes.
I wanted to see what would transpire.
And there's a string that the English definitions of the Hebrew names together, and it made a sentence.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I didn't want to make a mistake, so I used the lexicons, very well-known lexicons, mm-hmm. by Francis Brown, Driver, and Briggs. I used the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson. I wanted to make sure. And so that's, so I have it with me. I could share it with you.
Please. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, the first name is Adam. And the Hebrew root is Aleph, Dalet, Mem, and it means man or men or mankind, can mean people or human beings. The second name is Seth, and the Hebrew is the Shin Tav, and it means to appoint or to turn the face towards. The next name is Enosh, which is the Aleph, Nun, Vav, Shin, and that means mortal, grievous, sorrow, or a calamity. The next name is Canaan, Kof, Yud, Nun, and a final Nun, which means to lament or to mourn. Mm-hmm. The next is Mahalal, which is the Mem, He, Lamed, Lamed, Aleph, Lamed. And it means God who is praised or who praises God. Interesting. And I didn't know, when I was doing this research, mm-hmm. I did not know that I was going to have a sentence. I thought, well, I'll just do this as it comes and see what happens. The next name is Yared, which is the Yud Resh Dalet, and it means to descend, to come down in theophany, as in Genesis 11:5.
In other words, is God becomes man.
Yeah, and appearing in mm-hmm. a theophany,
okay.
appearing to people, like the Malach Hashem.
Huh. Okay, I'm with you.
The next is Enoch, which is the Chet, Nun, Vav, and a final Kaf. And it means to instruct, to teach, to dedicate, or to consecrate. The next is Methuselah, Mem, Tav, Vav, Shin, Lamed, Chet. And that means to die naturally, could be a natural death, or by violence. So it's to die.
Okay.
Either, and it's not finished yet. The second part, the Mem Tav Meth Vav, is to die naturally or by violence. The second part of the name, the Shin Lamed Chet, Shalach, means to be sent forth as a prophet, sent forth as a shoot or a sprout. So together, the name means to die naturally or by violence and to be sent forth as a prophet, or sent forth as a shoot or a sprout.
So let's string all the definitions together, and what sentence do we have?
Okay, I have two more names.
Okay.
Okay. Lamech, which is the Lamed Mem final kaf, and according to the Encyclopedia Judaica, because they don't, you just don't find it easily, that particular name Lamech is Old Akkadian. Mm-hmm. And in the Akkadian tradition, the noun Lamechu refers to a special group of priests. It has its roots in Hebrew. The Mem Kaf Hay, Nun Kaf Hay, both mean the same. It means to beat, to strike, to smitten, or scourged. And we know that's what it mm-hmm. says in the Bible concerning the Messiah. Yes. Noach, Nun Chet, which means a condition of rest, security, repose, or to give a quiet attitude. And when you put it together, the sentence says, mankind turns their faces towards and are appointed mortal grievous sorrow to lament and to mourn. God, who is praised, comes down to instruct and to consecrate. He is sent forth as a prophet priest to be smitten and scourged, to die, to give rest and security, a quiet attitude, peace.
Well, a quiet attitude, peace, isn't that what the world wants? You say, there isn't peace on earth, so the Messiah hasn't come. There is not peace on earth, but you can experience peace. We'll find out more. Be right back after this. Hi, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. Just before we go back to Sharon Allen, let's go to the control room. Janie, who's up next week?
Sid, you'll be interviewing a man from South Africa who hated Jewish people, he hated black people, he felt violent towards them. And one day he went to church and the power of God came on him, and all of a sudden he loved black people, he loved Jewish people. In fact, he would weep when he would think about them or see them. And this man also has a gift of knowing the future before it happens.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Janie. I'll tell you, Sharon Allen is telling me so many mind-blowing things about what, in her search, she went through the Jewish scriptures. No Christian told her Jesus was the Messiah. She never read the New Testament. Wherever she read, it talked about Yeshua, Jesus, as being the Jewish Messiah. For instance, Sharon, you found out that the ancient rabbis had it right, but the modern rabbis refused to follow what the ancient rabbis, before there was prejudice about Jesus, came up with. For instance, the ancient rabbis recognized, they thought there were two messiahs. However, why not one messiah, two appearances? What did they come up with? What conclusion?
Well, there's a wonderful book called Messiah Text by Raphael Patai. And in the book, he actually specifically explains how these rabbis, through their study of the scriptures, realized and saw the two distinct, differently distinct pictures of the Messiah. They even gave names to them. Mashiach ben Yosef, Messiah, son of Joseph, who they recognized would come as a suffering servant.
And by the way, Joseph was rejected by his own Jewish brothers.
Yes, yes. And Mashiach ben David, who would come as the conquering hero king, Messiah, son of David. And we always hear from the rabbis today of only the Mashiach ben David, the Messiah who would come and bring peace. And we don't hear about the suffering servant. So that's something that surprised me greatly. And in Isaiah 49, it was kind of interesting because in reading Isaiah 49, if I could just put it in my own words, we hear the suffering servant, the Messiah, lamenting to God that he failed to bring back the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we hear God comforting the suffering servant and saying, it's too small a thing, it's too light a thing for me to give you to the 12 tribes of Israel only. I will give you to all the nations of the world. And the word in Hebrew for nations is goyim, Gentile. And I had to ask myself the question, when did God send the Messiah to the 12 tribes of Israel? And when did he fail to reconcile them to God? Mm-hmm. And then when did God send the suffering servant, the Messiah, to the Gentiles, to the Goyim?
And the question I have is that the rabbis say that Jesus is the Messiah for the Goyim, for the Gentiles.
Well, if the Jewish prophet Isaiah said that the Jewish Messiah would go to the Gentiles, then by simple logic, Jesus, the Messiah of the Gentiles, is the Messiah of the Jewish people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what about, you were telling me, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah?
Well, we don't regularly read Isaiah 53 in completion in the synagogue. So I was not familiar with that scripture. But when I read it, to me it was amazing because it told the whole story that the Messiah had to suffer for our sins. And may I read Isaiah 53?
Please, but even before you read that, you told me that you found out on your own that the Jewish scriptures tell us a lot of clues about the Messiah. Tell me just a few real quickly.
Well, we're told where he would be born. We're told how he would live his life, the accomplishments he would do, all through Isaiah. It talks about how a child would be born, Isaiah 9. It speaks of that he would be born of a virgin. And then, of course, the rabbis bring in the difficulty between the Hebrew, the Alma, and the Betula. If you do a research and a study on the Hebrew, there is no problem because the term virgin that is used in reference to Yeshua is someone who has never been married. And so you need to study just all of the appearances of that Hebrew word Alma and the times that Betula appears.
And did you look in Zechariah about him being pierced?
Yes, Zechariah 12:10, which explains how we will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. Amazing. I mean, the terminology that's in my own Jewish Bible was amazing to me.
Okay. 800 years before Jesus came to earth, the Jewish prophet Isaiah wrote the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is so powerful, such a description of Jesus, that it is intentionally not read in the Jewish synagogues, although it's in the Jewish scriptures. They read Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 54 and eliminate Isaiah 53. Would you read that for us?
Yes. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand.
Did you hear that? He would be crushed for your sins, wounded for your iniquities, and by his stripes, by his blood, your sins would be washed away. Wash them away right now with me. Say, dear God, I'm a sinner. in the name of Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come inside of me. Take over my life. I make you my Messiah and Lord. Amen. You did it. You know him. He's yours.